407-278-5939. Give us a call.
That'd be a long trip, huh? From Hawaii?
Man, can you imagine?
Oh, jeez, just for MassFest?
I'd be leaving now.
Yeah, leaving now. You see, Scopa, in the past 100 years, they've developed this thing called an airplane that allows people to get... Not, they don't have to leave a week in advance, but...
You mean I can retire my burro?
Nice.
We have a question from Brian Walter, who writes, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. I was wondering if there is anywhere to get information regarding transportation schedules, or at least routes. I'm going to Disney World in December and want to spend a day going to each of the hotels to see their Christmas decorations, but want to minimize the amount of time spent traveling, so knowing which buses go where would be a great help.
Yeah, I would... buses. You know, you could start off by going to the Magic Kingdom, and then from the Magic Kingdom... Do the monorail to Epcot?
What do you mean? You mean the resort loop?
No, do the resort loop first. Yeah,
Christmas decorations.
Yeah, do those first, and then.
And then you can go to Epcot, and then
Epcot. And I would take the monorail only because it's cooler. More fun than the bus.
Let's back up a little bit. I think who's the listener's name? Brian?
No! You'd go Magic Kingdom to one of the Epcot resorts.
Wait a minute. What you want to do is you want to make sure you've got a list of all the resorts, and you want to say, okay, which resort is closest to which theme park? And that's the theme park from which you go to first, and then you go to those resorts.
Right. Yeah, well, I would say you go to the Magic Kingdom, do the Magic Kingdom resorts, then take the monorail to Epcot, then go from Epcot through World Showcase.
I'd take one of the Magic Kingdom resort buses back to one of the Epcot resorts.
Oh, yeah. I beg to differ, because you could go to Epcot on the monorail, go through International Gateway, go to Boardwalk, see Boardwalks.
Why would you just take the bus from the Magic Kingdom to the Boardwalk?
Yeah. I'm with Lynn on this one.
Because I think it's just more fun. I don't know.
Because I didn't think about it at the time.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, right.
407-278-5939. Give us a call, say how's it going. Let us know. If you have a question, feel free to ask us any questions you may be having on an upcoming trip. And along with that, of course, if you have, if you'd like to just say hi, you know, we always like hearing from our callers, both the ones that have called in the past and the ones we haven't heard from, because you know, the majority of our listeners don't communicate with us, so we'd love to be able to say hi and hear where you're from, and you know. I think Hawaii is pretty good. I don't think we're getting any international calls, although I could be proven wrong today.
Canada, technically not part of the United States yet.
Yeah. I'm looking for. Yeah, I don't think we're going to beat distance-wise Hawaii, but we can certainly try. 407-278-5939. While we're waiting on another call, we got an email from Dan Scott of Winter Park, Florida, who writes, hey guys, just a quick question about annual pass holder hotel benefits. We were planning a trip in February, but would like to make sure we have a room for sure, most likely in All-Star Music. Is it possible to book a room and then change it when the pass holder rates are announced? Are there any fees or anything that accompany changing a reservation?
It's really hard to change a reservation once you've got it. It's easier to make a new reservation and then cancel the old one.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have any problem with that. And it's not like you have to, 90% of the time, you just, the only thing to do is upon check-in, unless you like to prepay. Although sometimes they require a deposit.
Yeah, actually, you could go through a Disney-only travel agent, and they would rebook it for you automatically.
Yeah, that'd be a great option. One,
you'd have to give them your AP number, of course, but that's not a big deal.
Dan writes to us, thanks a lot for all the work you put in the podcast. I've been listening religiously since episode 4. Also, you might like to know that something that's for me that doesn't need to concern anyone else. Thanks again.
Read it, man.
Love you.
I don't know. The email just got deleted. I don't know how that happened, but
love you. He gets all the good stuff. He gets all the
presents.
Yeah, it gets all the presents and all the love and everything.
I don't know. Listeners sent us, is it meat candy? Oh.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Strangers send one candy all the time.
All the time.
I'm telling you, Mike, we need to do our own show, Mike.
You're not kidding.
Mike and Mike show.
You're not kidding. I think you're onto something.
It's Mike and Mike Show. Mike and Mike Show.
M&M's.
We got a question here right for Mr. Scopa. And, of course, if you'd like to call in with your own questions, call us at 407-278-5939. Phone number is at wdwtoday.com. Our next email is from Karen, who writes, "Hi, guys. I'm officially addicted to your podcast. My name is Karen, and I currently live in Boston, but I grew up in Mike Scopa's hometown of Merrimack, New Hampshire. Ooh. My parents are still there, and we visit often. We are planning a trip for the week of May 20th, 2007 to celebrate my mother-in-law's 60th birthday. Do you have any suggestions for a celebration dinner for six adults, three kids, ages 1, 4, and 7?
Boma.
In Merrimack or in Walt Disney World?
In Boma.
Merrimack. Well, Denny's is pretty good.
no Waffle House up here, though.
There's no Waffle House in Merrimack?
There's no Waffle Houses north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a southern thing. Why do you think I like it all the time?
It's a treat.
How do you... So what do you have, like a Huddle House or a...
No, IHOP.
Yeah, IHOP. We have pancake houses and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there's no Huddle House. That's another south thing, southern thing.
Bed and breakfasts, things like that.
Wow.
Yeah, no Waffle House. That's why we like it so much, and you're always like, what?
It's a Waffle House. Okay, all right.
Anyway, celebration.
Greetings from New Hampshire and Merrimack, Karen. And by the way, this is not my hometown. My hometown, which I define hometown as where you were born. My hometown is in Greater Boston.
Come on. All right, Scopa, be honest. You were born in England before the colonies were set up, and you came over here
exactly.
On the Mayflower.
That's right.
Prior to the Norman conquest.
he was born in a manger because there was no room at the inn.
A manger.
I actually have my swaddling clothes on now.
Born in a manger. I like that.
That was good.
Anyway.
May 20th. Yeah, Boma's really good for actually, I ran this question by one of the unofficial guide restaurant reviewers, and that's what they said. Yeah, the exact same question. And Boma was their first choice for that. So you've got wine. It's pretty good food. It's got the beige menu for kids, the chicken fingers, the fries, the mac and cheese, the... You know, all the usual stuff, but more fun stuff for adults. And then there's plenty of stuff to do before and after dinner. I really like that idea. I also might want to check out... Go ahead.
We're talking birthdays?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, celebrate mother-in-law's 60th birthday. Narcusi's might be a little bit out of her age range.
What about beer garden? No?
See, get the mother-in-law drunk. That's what I say. I mean, really, nothing says birthday like drunken German people. Have some more schnitzel, Grandma! The only thing is that depending on when they actually did the dinner, they would if they're not going to another theme park that day, that would cost them admission, whereas Boma wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I would like I'm thinking maybe Whispering Canyon, maybe if you want a little bit more interesting. Rather, I mean, depends if you're looking for traditional, like, you know, celebrate. You know, cheers kind of thing, then Boma might be a good one.
Prime time.
Yeah, but otherwise, yeah, I would say, you know, prime time or Whispering Canyon. Like Len said, you might not want to, use park admission that day.
How about Ohana?
No?
Ohana's? That would be interesting. Good,
yeah. Oh, Ohana, yeah, good choice.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like that one. It's a good one.
But Len brought it up before, Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
Nothing says anniversary like Waffle House.
We have been waffling back and forth on. Please call in, please.
Please.
Hey, we should mention, in general, when we're down there for MouseFest, Thursday we will be in the Magic Kingdom. On Friday morning we will be in Disney's Animal Kingdom, and Friday afternoon we will be in Disney MGM Studios. On Saturday, the official theme park for Saturday is Epcot, although we will probably be spending most of our time at the Mega Meet. And Sunday, I believe, is Magic Kingdom, and Monday is MGM Studios, I believe.
407-278-5939. Give us a call with any questions that you may have. I'm trying to find an interesting listener email here. This is a good one. Len knows a lot about this. Hi, guys. This is from Christy from Dayton, Ohio. My question concerns Shades of Green. I've heard you mention it a few times on your show, and I was wanting to know if any of you actually stayed or been to Shades of Green. You spoke of it highly, but I wasn't sure if that was because it's so exclusive or because it really is a great place to stay.
So, Christy, we sent the unofficial guide research team to stay at Shades of Green in September, thanks to a family of listeners to the show who offered us an extra room. It's not a bad resort. It's somewhere between a Disney Moderate and a Disney Deluxe in terms of quality of room. And I think we've got a couple hundred photos and some video of it if you're interested. Drop me a line. We'll send you a DVD with the details. Hey, it's
Christy specifically also wants to know about the restaurants, which she understands you can only have access to if you are a guest of that particular resort or have a military ID.
Right. I don't recall the restaurants. We'll have to post it in the show notes. I was really focusing on the room. The room was just okay from what I understand. It's a great value. It's in the $100 range. For most folks, so that's better than a Disney Moderate. And in terms of quality, it's somewhere between a Moderate and a Deluxe. It is a little bit larger room, if that makes sense.
Great. Well, we have a live caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name's Paul.
Hi, Michael. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from beautiful Oxnard, California.
California, great. What can we do for you tonight?
All right, guys. I have an AP question for you. My fiance and I usually go about once every couple of years. We both buy annual passes to take advantage of the discounts and the room rates and everything. This year, I was considering buying a premium AP so I could get into Disney Quest and maybe go to the water parks if I felt like doing that. Does it really make sense to shell out the extra money for the premium AP, or am I better off just paying a la carte for the individual stuff?
Scopa?
I would not pay for the premium aspect of the AP unless you really are a water freak and would go to the theme parks, to the water parks a lot. Also, a Disney Quest is slated to close sometime next year, so I'm not sure if it would be worth paying the extra money just for that. My thought is this. Let me ask you this first. Have you been to Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach at all?
We usually go at least one day when we go on vacation, maybe one or two days worth of visits every 2 weeks that we're there.
So would you go, okay, so if you were there for 2 weeks, would you go, let's say, three or four times?
I don't think we've ever gone more than once or twice.
Well, I think that pretty much answers the question. Then I would say going a la carte might be the best way to do it. And also, one thing to keep in mind is that if you have an annual pass, I believe you're going to get 10 or 15 or 20% off the cost of admission to the water park. So you have to keep that in mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
Len?
I'd have to agree with Mike Scopa on that one.
Yeah.
Len, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would, too. It really comes down to how many times you're going to use those additional features. And if it's not more than...
two or three times?
Oh. Yeah, I think it has to be three.
Three, yeah.
For the break even. I mean, if you're going to, it's a little bit different if you're like Pleasure Island and stuff like that. Because doesn't Pleasure Island Access come with? No, Pleasure Island has its own pass.
No, this is water park and
right,
more.
Right.
Water fun and more.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, you're really gonna do the math on that, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say stick with the basic AP, Mike, and then just do a la carte, and make sure that you take advantage of the discount that you get.
Okay, now assuming I did go to the water parks like three or four times, and to Disney Quest at least once, and maybe once or twice to Pleasure Island, then would it make sense to get the premium, or am I still better off a la carte?
You're close to the break even. If you're planning on doing multiple visits,
what's the difference in cost between the two?
I think it's about another $100 or something like that. Let's see if I can find it quickly.
It also the premium annual pass also gives you access to Disney's Wide World of Sports complex. Anything.
Yeah, but what do you get there that you don't get? I mean, you're still gonna have to buy tickets to individual events, right?
Yes, it's valid only on event days. Call for operating schedule. Some events require a separate admission charge.
Exactly.
So if, I mean, you know, like the baseball games in spring training, for instance, wouldn't do you much good because you still got to pay extra for those.
So premium, premium is almost $600, $595. It's $134 more than the regular annual pass. It's about $130. So I'm guessing if you go, if I'm going to say if you make five or six visits to those places that you mentioned, Mike, maybe it would be worth it. But I'd say five or six would be the minimum. Otherwise, I'd do a la carte. Glenn?
Okay.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
I would say probably five, but okay. Yeah.
Hope that helps.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to go with the regular then. I mean, we go in early January, so I don't think three or four visits to the water parks is all that.
Woo! In January.
Oh, well, now, that's a different story, yeah, yeah. Plus the fact that, here's the thing that would bother me. If you're down there and you're planning to do it, and let's say you hit a stretch of bad luck, and you've got terrible weather, and those water parks aren't open, well, then you're paying for something that you're not going to be able to use. Unless, of course, you're planning to go at another time during that year that your annual pass is active, then you can make up for it. But imagine going down there, you've paid for this water park and more premium aspect of the annual pass, and yet it's raining every time you want to go to a water park. That would bother me.
Then you go Clark W. Griswold on your family and
exactly.
You know, open up the, you know, take the security guy hostage and open up
Wally World.
Yeah. Open up the water park and say, we're going to have
fun. That was on last night.
Was it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
What a
great
movie.
That's awesome.
Any other questions for us, Michael?
Every other time we've been down to Walt Disney World in January, Typhoon Lagoon's been open. I think this year in the operating schedule says Blizzard Beach is open. Is it worth going to one if you haven't been to the other?
Yeah, they're both different, yeah.
Yeah, they're both. I mean, you've got different kinds of slides. I would definitely say so.
Yeah, different theming. I mean, they're both fun. Plus, the water's heated, which is a nice.
Yeah, you shouldn't have any line. There's always. I remember I go down in February always, and there's always one family that gets off the bus when they stop at the water park, and it's always that everyone on the bus gives them that look like, this isn't Epcot, right? Like you're getting
exactly.
off at the water park, and it's always that like wow. But hey, if you go for it, Michael, I mean you'll have the water park basically to yourself.
Yeah.
And like Glenn said, it's heated. Yeah, go for it. Pneumonia is overrated anyway.
I mean, hypothermia, at least.
I would definitely go for it, Michael.
Okay, cool, guys. All right, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
407-278-5939. And I tell you what, listeners, I have an amazing tip that I've run into this past week about what happens if there's a package, like a dinner package deal that you want to get into, but everything's booked up. I've got a tip for how you can actually get in.
No.
So, that's right, but I will not divulge unless one of our listeners calls in and asks me for it, because I need to be prodded. It's something like, I don't know. I just need that kind of peer pressure.
Gee, maybe I'll call in. What's the number that I call?
Get Carol on the phone.
Yeah.
Hello?
Honey.
Yeah, we've resorted to that in the past.
Yeah.
You know.
We have.
We might have to bring out Scopa's family again. Holly would call in, and Carol would call in.
Why is this Matt?
No.
407-278-5939. Call with a question, or perhaps you'd like to know my wonderful little tip. In the meantime, though, some good questions so far. Michael had some great ones, and we finished hour one. We're going to move into hour two over here.
Okay.
And lots of time, and we've got another caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Larry from Elkton, Maryland.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Doing all right. First and foremost, Matt, glad to hear the Outstandings are back. They were definitely missed.
Well, outstanding.
Walter Cronkite saying, not saying that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You did say somebody should call in and ask you for that tip for getting into a place that has no reservation, so we're going to ask.
All right. Well, first of all, I should give credit where credit is due. This tip actually came to me from Becky from Mouse Fan Travel. And the tip is, let's say, like, this is for Candlelight Processional, and I wanted the dinner package for Mouse Fest. Everything was sold out on the night I wanted to go. So, what to do? Well, this what you need to do is actually make a reservation for, if let's say there's two people in your party, well, then you make a reservation for one person, which there's always availability. This works best at restaurants where you have communal seating, like at Beer Garden or in Japan. And what you do is you make a reservation for one person, so one person reservation at, like, say, 5:40, and another reservation for your for another one-person reservation for, like, 5:45. Usually, 9 out of 10 times they're going to have availability because one person is easy to fit into to a place. And then what happens is when the first person is called, you tell the host or hostess that you're obviously the situation you're with, and you'd like to wait for your other party, another spot to open up for that one person, and then you can go in there.
Sounds like a great tip. Thank you.
Anytime. Glad I could share.
So we called Disney reservations one time, my brother and I, looking for a table of two. And did you know that if you ask for a table of two and there are no two tops available, they won't give you a table for four?
Oh,
They'll just tell you that there's no table for two?
Yeah, it's very annoying is what it is.
Well, because it's not like they don't have room. They just don't have – it's not like a perfect fit.
Yeah, exactly.
So another tip, Matt, to go along with yours is if you're a party of two, then call back and ask for a party of four and see what you get.
Yeah, in August when it was me, Carol, my cousin, and myself, it was just three of us. I made reservations for a table of four every single time.
Yeah, and then you can always, when you show up there, just say, oh, it's just two of us, and they'll still see you.
Yeah, because I didn't want to see a table of two and then, you know, have a forced three. I just didn't want to do that.
Any other questions for us, Larry?
Excellent.
No, I think that pretty well covers it.
Great. Thanks for calling in.
It was a break even. This year, I think that they're a little overpriced, so I'm not too crazy about paying for a lunch at dinner prices and things like that. So.
Yeah. I agree that it is a little bit over expensive. Although I am eating at a beer garden, so it's going to be that should be a decent value when it comes to, you know. Yeah.
How much do they charge you for the beer garden?
I don't have the prices on me, but I do know that it's on the lower echelon of the price gap. It's always, you know, beer garden and garden grill. We've got a caller here. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Dennis in Atlanta.
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Outstanding.
Yeah, not bad. Even better on Wednesday.
What can we do for you, Dennis?
Well, sorry if there's any background noise. I'm driving along. Just a few quick questions. First of all, is there a single rider line for Soarin'?
No.
No.
But when you're in line, Dennis, they may come by and say, Are there any single riders? But I'll let you know, and I'm sure the rest of my colleagues here will agree with me. If they're looking for a single rider for one of the concourses, then you're probably going to be on the edge of one of the rows, or you're going to be on the lower row, because they're giving all the good seats to those people who are already on there.
But, you know, if you could save yourself a wait, I would still ride it, on the end.
Okay. So the answer is yes.
Yeah, Dennis. Wait, though, and single rider. Who are you ditching? Your wife, your girlfriend, your mother-in-law? Because I mean, there's a couple of times where you definitely want to split up. There are other times when it's probably not worth the risk.
I just happened recently. I found myself in the general area, and I've got an annual pass, so occasionally I've been popping in and doing a whirlwind of the four parks in one day.
Oh yeah, by all means, go ahead and do it then.
Okay. My second question was for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, how late will they let a regular ticket holder in before they say, sorry, we're not letting anyone else in because the party's about to start?
Party starts at 6. I think 4 o'clock is the cutoff date time, isn't
four,
that?
Four, I think it's like 4:30. Although, you know, I mean, I think they'll tell you 4:30. I'll bet if you just show up at 5 o'clock and you say, I just need to get one thing. Because, I mean, the park's still open, right? So what good is the park being open if you can't go in? That would be my argument. Hey, I just want to get on the Jungle Cruise. I just want to go see Pirates of the Caribbean real quick.
I want to see Stitch.
I want to, yeah, well, they're not going to believe that, but... okay.
Sir, right, you are a liar.
You are lying, exactly. Come
security,
on.
Security.
Dude, I need give me something to work with, is what they're going to say there. And, but I bet if you showed up at 4:45, 5 o'clock, you'd get in. You know, much past that, it'd be like, you might get told, hey, look, we're closing in an hour, be in and out. And then you might want to just say, look, I just need to ride this one thing. And I would mention... You know, Pirates of the Caribbean. I'd say, look, I just want to go on Pirates of the Caribbean, see the new Johnny Depp thing, and then I'm leaving.
Okay. And last question, and I'm going to go ahead and hang up because I've got to get back to work here. I'm playing hooky right now. What do each of you consider to be the best value restaurant in each of the parks? Not the hotels, but just the parks, based on, you know, a combination of price and quality of the food. And I'll just listen to the podcast later and hear what you guys have to say. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Larry.
Cool. Well, good question.
Len, I think you and I would agree on Epcot.
Dennis, right?
Dennis, yes. I'm sorry. Beer Garden?
Value sit-down, yeah, Beer Garden. I think counter service is Sunshine Seasons all the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sunshine Seasons for counter service is great.
I agree.
Magic Kingdom? A little limited here.
Crystal Palace, maybe?
Yeah, I think lack of not much competition is in the
sit-down. Actually, sit-down, the Plaza restaurant has decent sandwiches, and it's less expensive than the Crystal Palace.
Is it? It's on sit-down.
Yeah, they take reservations. Yeah,
all right. Oh, that's true. They change it every other week.
Yeah, I know.
I would say for counter service...
it's either Pecos or it's...
I would say Pecos Bills for the... what's it called?
I know
it's still
well, remember they changed it a little bit, right? I don't think the cheese now. I think the cheese you have to ask for. But Scopey, you were going to say Cosmic Rays?
I was going to say Geppetto House, although I haven't had the panini yet. Mike Newell, we're going to try
the
panini.
It's not that good.
It's not?
It's
Mike
not that
Newell,
good.
We're not going to do the panini.
Okay. it's really, I'm serious. It's not that good. No, when they changed the menu, I mean, the panini, it sounds good, and there's pizza on there, but... Neither of those things are things that Disney does well.
Calzone, too? Lousy?
I mean, just Italian food in theme parks just isn't... I mean, come on.
It doesn't work. No, I know. Yeah. Hey, you're preaching to the choir.
I know.
As far as the Starlight Cafe, and we've talked about this before, I just have a problem with burgers on one side, chicken on the other
absolutely.
Side. You know?
But that would be the second choice. I really like Pecos Bills. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I like Pecos Bills. Animal Kingdom?
Tusker House.
Tusker House, definitely.
Flame Tree. but all right, whatever. I really like Flame Tree. The only thing is it's outdoors.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's no sit-down. I mean, there's the Rainforest Cafe, but...
Ugh.
Anytime you see a restaurant with a menu that's like 10 pages long, it's like you all that really well.
I know.
I would rather see like a single page of you know, here are the things that we're competent at than, you know, here's everything from
Kung
Pao chicken to... Yeah,
everything
exactly,
that's microwavable.
To Mongolian stir fry that, you know, that we can do. Like, come on.
The studios, I think I know Len's answer for there. That would be Hollywood and Vine.
Me too. And Backlot Express.
Definitely Backlot
Express.
Yeah, those
two. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We don't even need Len on
the
this podcast
site,
anymore.
The dip site, though. We agree. If the dip site's open, it's got a killer sandwich, right?
But that sandwich, I think, is gone now. The cheesesteak?
Yeah. No, it's gone?
I think it's gone.
They added... Now they've got Spanish-American food, I think.
You need to go more often, Len.
Yeah, I need to go to the last time I was there, it was closed. It was in May.
Yeah, that's when... Yeah, and then I went in September. I looked, and it's gone. It's got...
If only there was someone that was, you know, knew something about the studios who could alert me to these kind of changes. Oh, well.
If only there was someone who asked me these questions before live shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Let me pull that up really quickly over here.
That stinks.
Yeah, it's going... Dip site goes for Food Fiesta. The dip site snack stand in the Disney Imagineering Studios now has Hispanic food offerings. Of particular interest are arepas, cornbread slices with mozzarella inside, which are included as a snack option on the Disney dining plan.
We need
I think I protest.
I see a research trip.
We need to... gentlemen, start your stomachs. But we also need to probably do a show in the future on what we feel are the most overpriced restaurants.
Ooh, that'll be a nice little show right there. 407-278-5939. Give us a call, and we will answer your question for you. That was actually a very interesting question, in fact.
That was a great question.
Yeah. Although, yeah, now you got me bummed when there's no more cheesesteaks over there. I mean, I kind of accepted that
fact.
That
was a good cheesesteak, wasn't it?
Oh, it was probably one of the best values on property.
Yeah.
Because it was a big sandwich, it was cheap.
But they need a place like that. They need a small, out-of-the-way... You know what would be great? To the left of the Indiana Jones entrance, that sort of where Scopa's magical walk is.
Right.
The little hidden walkway.
Yep.
They could do like a little stand right there, like you know, like sort of a New York street. Oh, on the streets of America.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You walk by and you can get like hot dogs in a cart and grilled cheesesteak in a cart.
Oh, absolutely, that would be great.
Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi.
Exactly.
Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
I remember one time in New York, like eating like three meals outside of the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Your wife is in there and Len's outside. I'm like, get another hot dog.
I'm like finishing the hot dog going, cheesesteak guy, other corner. Huh.
Yeah, all the food cart vendors were following Len around because he was putting kids
exactly,
through college.
Exactly.
407-278-5939. Give us a call and we will answer it for you. We've had some good calls coming in and we'd like to keep that going. So again, if you have any questions about an upcoming trip, you know, annual pass questions are really on people's minds lately. I guess everyone kind of renews around, I guess around this time of year. Because I know that we had, we just recorded Wednesday's listener question show the other night. And Scopa, we had like, what, three, four, five
annual pass
questions? Yeah.
Yep.
There are definitely quite a bit.
Could be people who are considering who see themselves going down enough days to justify an annual pass, and they need some type of confirmation that they're making the right choice by asking certain questions because they may have never had an annual pass before.
Absolutely.
Yep.
While we're waiting for our caller, I've got an email from Tiffany from Appleton, Wisconsin, who writes, I've been to Disney a lot. I've not gone, though, in the past 3 years due to college. I just graduated, and I'm going with my boyfriend. I'm 22 and he's 26. He's never been there. I'm a Disney freak, and I think that I kind of overwhelmed him by talking about everything. I just wanted to show him. I'm trying to pack in as much things as possible. We are staying at Port Orleans Riverside. Is there anything that I should show him that you think is a must? A few things I am planning on going to are Cirque du Soleil, Pleasure Island, Disney Quest, all the parks, water parks, and a private boat to see the fireworks with some friends.
Wow. How long? 3 days.
No, it's about a week. Week trip.
I don't know if I would do the fireworks cruise. I don't think that's worth the money, but other than that, it sounds like a plan. Stuff you don't want to miss in the Magic Kingdom. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean, obviously.
Certainly the big attractions, I think.
Yeah, you know. Space Mountain. You want to see the evening parade. Splash
Mountain.
Spectre
Magic would be great.
Spectre Magic, yeah. Big Thunder, Haunted Mansion.
I would do the attractions that kind of the attractions that a lot of people like that aren't the headliner attractions. Turtle Talk is a good one.
Okay.
You know, the Streetmosphere characters at the studios. You know, it's the things that aren't just obviously everybody knows Space Mountain. I'm sure he knows. You know, it's fun. But you're trying to work in those other things. You got a good idea there with Cirque du Soleil and Disney Quest, somewhat.
Yeah, definitely, the fast pass attractions are generally the ones that are, the must sees.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. While we're waiting for calls, though, we'll continue answering questions. This one comes from Brian from Detroit, Michigan, who writes: The past 2 years, we've been able to take advantage of the incredible deals in September, but this year we want to see Disney with the Christmas decorations. I was wondering.
They might be up in September. You know, the rate they're going.
Has Disney running? Yeah. Is Disney running any discounted packages for the first few weeks in December, since it's traditionally a slow period of time for them?
You know, it's not anymore. The first week of December is now got Pop Warner Championships, 28,000 people this year. They've got the Performance Racing League convention, 40,000 people, although not on Disney property. I don't think the first week of December is as slow as it. Traditionally was. Now, the second week of December, you definitely see hotel deals, not only with Disney, but with like the Swan, the Dolphin, and other downtown Disney resorts. So that's an option.
Great.